Welcome to Nutrition for Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you with Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their range, so you can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use code RADIO15 to see what feeling super is all about. I'm Dora Walsh, nutritionist, functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to alleviate your health problems such as chronic fatigue, hormonal imbalance, digestive problems, autoimmune conditions, skin concerns, hard to lose weight, sugar cravings, and much more. You can find out more about me on the internet and also follow me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Well, this week, we're going to be talking about fasting. We all do it, but are we getting the health benefit? Fasting is the abstention from eating and sometimes drinking. From a purely physiological context, fasting may refer to the metabolic status of a person who has not eaten overnight or to the metabolic state achieved after complete digestion and absorption of a meal. Fasting is really topical at the moment. Many people around the world are observing Ramadan at the moment, but it's also become popular because of the news and also for weight management, also celebrity nutrition. And most recently, Rishi Sunak's claims of a balanced lifestyle through intermittent fasting. Well, this week, we're speaking to an amazing expert. It's Fasana Nasser. She's a Revive Active Health expert and ambassador. Fasana is a nutritional therapist and functional medicine practitioner. She's been at the forefront of science-backed methodologies using genetic and functional testing to help women overcome thyroid symptoms, gut health issues, and autoimmune conditions using a powerful combination of cutting-edge lab testing, natural therapies, and lifestyle medicine. She's a member of VANT, the Institute of Functional Medicine. She's SIBO doctor approved, and she has many more accreditations to her name. And she's recently launched a health and well-being subscription service called Health Unlocked to help you create healthy habits and support your optimal health. Welcome to the show, Fasana.
Thank you, Dora. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and to be talking with you.
Fasting, we all do it, but are we getting the health benefits? That's the topic of our show. And as we know, many people are using fasting for health reasons. They're also using it for religious reasons. So it'll be good to unlock what the health benefits are. But before we go on to talk about that and how people we can use fasting to really support their health, tell us how you came to be a nutritional therapist and an expert at Revive Active.
My own personal journey brought me into nutritional therapy. I studied finance and I was working in banking, and I was in my mid-20s when I had hormonal imbalance. I was diagnosed with an autoimmune condition and I had gut issues. I didn't want to take a pill for an ill. I didn't want to be rubbing cream all over my psoriasis. I didn't want to take the pill for my PCOS. I didn't even want to get an endoscopy to see what was going on. And I ended up having that actually awake. It was that that made me want to retrain in nutritional therapy and then functional medicine to actually understand what was going on in my body and to be able to join the dots and then bring all of these conditions into remission.
So you actually got your conditions, the autoimmune condition, the PCOS, all of this into remission through nutritional therapy. Is that right?
Absolutely, I did. Yeah. When you actually understand the power of food, tweaking little things, changing what you're eating really does have a powerful impact pretty much immediately. You know, for the PCOS, I managed to turn that around within 6 to 12 months with the autoimmunity. I mean, we know we cannot cure an autoimmune condition, but you can bring it into remission. Once I found out what was driving it, then, you know, that made a difference and brought it into remission. And then working on my gut probably took a few months as well. But as you know, it's always work in progress. You always have to be eating correctly, thinking about all of the aspects of health that make a difference.
This week, we're going to be talking about fasting. We all fast, but are we getting the health benefit? Tell us about fasting. I think there are all different types of fasting and people can get confused about it.
We all fast every day. So when we have breakfast in the morning, breakfast is break fast. So we've all gone for a period without food and we have fasted overnight. When we think about the health benefits of fasting, that's anything from about a 12-hour window. So we all should be fasting ideally for 12 hours overnight. And what that means is, for example, if we stop eating dinner at 8 p.m., we wouldn't want to have breakfast until 8 a.m. in the morning. And that is, at the simplest, a 12-hour fast that we should all be doing. And that's important for many, many, many things. But when we think about other kinds of fasting, we have like intermittent fasting, which is also known as time-restricted eating. And this is the entry point into fasting. And this is where you see many of the benefits. The intermittent fast, which is between 12 to 16 hours, it can help with metabolic markers like blood pressure, your fasting glucose, and insulin. I think a lot of people like the intermittent fasting as well because of the weight loss benefits that it has. And what happens is during this time, you flip your metabolic switch and start burning fat as fuel. And that's where you see the weight loss benefits kick in. It's also been shown to be good for focus and clarity. Most people start making ketones when they burn fat at about 15 hours, and that can help with increasing focus and clarity. Then we have longer fasts, which 17 plus hours, and they can have even more benefits. Where this is where you see something called autophagy. And this is basically means cell eating, when your cell actually starts to eat itself. And when there is no glucose coming into your cells eat what is inside them. And this process actually makes your cells stronger. And the reason is, over time, our cells accumulate damaged particles that cause them to become dysfunctional. When we fast and we are in autophagy, which happens at 17 hours plus, our cells remove these malfunctioning particles and help improve better overall function. And the reason we want to do that is because if you don't, that accelerates aging, it can reduce immune function, and it also has an impact on our energy and can lower energy.
And we don't want defective cells reproducing in the body. We really want to get them out of the body, don't we?
Yeah, no, exactly. And those benefits happen about 17 hours. I mean, all the different lengths of fasting will have different benefits. We know if you do like a 3-day water fast, it's really supporting your immune function and it floods your system with new stem cells. And then we've got the fasting, for example, in Ramadan, which is more of a spiritual fast. The hours that you fast vary depending on the lunar calendar. So when it's in wintertime, you have shorter fasts, and when it's in the summertime, you have longer fasts. And these kinds of fasts, you're not having anything. You're not even having any liquids. And it's not just not eating. It's a fast with all your senses. So you're not eating food. You're not listening to, we say, like, you know, anything bad. You're not looking at anything bad. It's very spiritual. It's quite inward. And there's a lot of prayers in this month as well.
So there's so many different types of fast. So just though, we've got the breakfast where we all fast, and, you know, we wake up and we have breakfast. That's the break of our fast, which is overnight. And everybody does that.
Yeah.
Time restrictive eating. And then we've got the intermittent fasting. And there's also 5.2 and other types of fasting type diets. And there's the spiritual fasting. By the sounds of it, they all have their benefit, whether that be for weight loss, for energy, for the immune system, for autophagy, the cell cleaning when you're doing 17 plus hours, or the 3-day fast for the immune system, bathing the body in those stem cells, those very young cells that can become anything.
Exactly.
And then spiritual fasting, like with Ramadan, where we're fasting from food, from liquids, fasting from all the senses, not looking at anything bad or thinking about anything bad, you know, on the spiritual and the physical level, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Good for our listeners to know about all the different types of fastings and the health benefits that they bring. And we're going to dig a lot deeper into that.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, maybe they don't really know how to embark on fast, and we'll go on to that as well. But everybody has breakfast, let's hope. But are they doing it effectively? They do that. Everybody does break their fast. Their breakfast.
Yes.
Are they doing it effectively?
Yeah, I mean, the way we break our fast is just as important as the fasting itself. So we know there are so many benefits to fasting, but also when we break our fast, you want to do it the right way to support health, even when we're eating. So the first thing we want to think about is our meal, blood sugar balanced when we eat. And what does that mean? Blood sugar balance basically means that it's not going to cause big spikes in your glucose levels. And the reason you don't you want to stabilize your blood sugars, because that has an impact on everything, on supporting good mood, on supporting good energy, and supporting like the gut microbiome. Many of the benefits that you get, you'll get some of the same benefits as well, depending on how you break your fast. And when you think about blood sugar balancing, what that means is it means in your meal, you have protein, fats, and carbohydrates in that meal. So for example, when you break your fast in the morning, if you have a slice of toast with some butter on it, that is going to raise your blood sugar very quickly. You'll eat the toast. It gets broken down into sugars very quickly. That will hit your bloodstream. You'll get a peak of glucose. And then what happens is the way your body deals with it is your pancreas releases insulin to reduce that blood glucose, but it drops very low. And this is the beginning of what is known as the blood sugar roller coaster. And that can start you, once you have that effect in the morning, it has like a rebound effect throughout the day. And that can drive, you know, more hunger, that can drive stubborn weight issues, that can drive anxiety. It makes you hangry. But if you have that toast in the morning and you blood sugar balance it, and that can be really simple. It could simply be adding something like an almond butter or a peanut butter. So nut butters, seed butters, they contain proteins and fats, and that they help slow down the release of sugars into your bloodstream, supporting more of a stable glucose curve.
Now, what about people that, in terms of the breaking their fast, the people that are eating late at night, and maybe then they're having breakfast early in the morning? Does that affect the fast because it's shorter?
Absolutely. You have a shorter fast.
Would it not work? So say if they've eaten very late and then they had an early fasted for a short time, would the benefits not kick in?
I mean, you see a lot of the benefits after the 12-hour fast, which is why we're aiming to do a minimum of a 12-hour fast overnight. So we know it has impacts, for example, even on your gut microbiome. In a fasted state, it allows particular species in your gut to grow. For example, there's a species in our gut called Akkermansia, which is associated with good metabolic health. That only actually grows in a fasting state. Yeah, you do want to aim for the 12 hours.
Right. So I guess that eating late and snacking late at night is a no-no in terms of the fasting routine.
I mean, you want to try to minimize your eating window to make it as much as you can, but you can do this slowly. So for example, if you're eating within over 16 hours of the day and having that small fasting window, see if you can slowly reduce it by an hour, maybe every week. So it's not something you want to suddenly do if you've been doing it for a long time, but see if you can gradually make your fasting window bigger, you know, even just start by an hour and two and see if you make it see a difference until you're at about 12-hour fasting and 12-hour eating.
Yeah. What time do you eat in the evening? What's the latest you would eat for sauna?
Me, I usually stop eating. I mean, it's different right now because we've got Ramadan. And so, but usually I will stop eating at 6 o'clock in the evening. I find it really easy to stop eating at 6 p.m. And then I will have breakfast at about 9 a.m. the following day. I find that much easier than, you know, stopping to eat 8 p.m. and then not starting to eat later on in the morning.
Yeah, quite late. I must say, since I had my daughter, because kids like to have an early dinner, I got used to that. You know, we're eating dinner around 5:30 or 6. And I just got used to that. So I'm the same. But then, and mostly I won't eat later, but often, sometimes I will have a little snack. I'll get hungry again. My eating window changed with kids, definitely. And it's nice. It's healthier to eat earlier.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what I find as well. I'm eating earlier with the kids, but also after I've had dinner, I'm just tired. And when I do eat, I find like it's mindless snacking, things that I'm not actually wanting to eat it, but I'm just tired, but I don't want to go to bed. And then that's when you start to do the snacking, right? And even when you say people eating till 11 o'clock at night, it tends to be more of the mindless snacking.
This is why this routine is so important, to have to know the cutoff time for eating if you want to do this fast. And just for health in general, you might not even be thinking consciously that you want to fast, but in health in general, we shouldn't really be eating late.
No, exactly. And what I do is I'll brush my teeth after dinner, which stops me from eating.
That's what I tell my clients as well.
Yes.
No, I have dinner and then I want something sweet. That's the usual thing. I want something sweet. So I brush your teeth, put mouthwash in your mouth. It's just not nice to eat after brushing your teeth. And it's such a hassle. It doesn't taste good, but also it's a hassle because then you have to brush your teeth again. So That's a good. And as you say, in terms of the routine, just start cutting your eating window down by an hour a day. So you might have, you know, you might be eating your dinners at 9, start eating them at 8 and then bring them back to 7. And or you might do that. You know, you might do it. It doesn't have to be done straight away.
Yeah, no, exactly. You can gradually do it until you're comfortable placed. But then also we should mention that, you know, looking at the window, your fasting window, doing something like 12 hours and 12 hours is fine for most people. But when you start limiting it even more, like shortening your eating window and extending your fasting window, you also need to be careful and also speak to your healthcare provider, depending on what your health is like as well.
This is so, so important because it doesn't suit everyone. And we'll definitely go on to talk about that in the show because that needs to be very clear that fast, because there's a period of time in the evening when we're asleep that we don't eat, and that is a fast. But in terms of extending that fasting period, it's not for everyone. For some people, it can be absolutely fantastic, and for others, not. We'll go on to talk about it. Why does the body need this everyday fast? We talked a bit about the benefits, but just to reemphasize why we need to do this every day.
Why do we need to fast every day? It gives our body a break and it allows it to regenerate and supports many systems in our body when it does this.
Good to have a break for the digestion. I know for a fact that a lot of my digestive clients, especially the ones with inflammatory bowel disease, it's definitely from fasting to give that internal system a rest. Right. And, you know, obviously with fasting, every time we eat, there is a hormonal reaction, isn't there? That we have insulin is secreted and glucose is taken up into the cells, and insulin is our fat storage hormone, and there can be inflammation as well. So there are so many reasons why we benefit from fasting, and we, obviously we all do it every day, but to do it in the right way is so essential.
No, exactly. When you say like when you fast, that's one of the biggest metabolic benefits, is because it is lowering insulin, which is helping to lower inflammation. You're lowering your blood sugar markers as well, which is helping, you know, with blood pressure and, you know, all of these aspects as well.
So you talked a bit about the longer term fasting, 17 hours, the more than 12 to 16 hours. But the 12 to 16 hours, is that the one that's best for weight loss?
They're all positive for weight loss. I mean, it's usually at about 12 hours that you, after about 8 hours, you start, your body switches. It flips like the metabolic switch, and people start making ketones actually at about 15 hours. And that's what can really help with weight loss. But it's not even that. If there was a study that was done, it would say for in cell metabolism in 2020, and it showed that the same diet, so if you ate the same diet, if you ate it in a 14-hour window, but instead of eating in a 14-hour window, you ate it in a 10-hour window. So it's eating the same food, but in a smaller window, it had a lot of weight benefits, okay? Right. So just eating the same meal in a smaller window helped reduce total body fat percentage. It helped reduce visceral fat. It reduced waist circumference. It lowered blood pressure, lowered LDL cholesterol, and it also lowered HbA1c.
So they were basically eating the same calories, the same food, the same proportion, a different window. So rather not 14 hours, but 10 hours. And yeah, with those health benefits.
Exactly. So just condensing it. And there was a similar study that was done 2 years before that showed actually in the 8-hour window, it had the same benefits. And this one was a 10-hour window, which showed the same benefits. It's pretty powerful. You know, not even changing what you're eating. Obviously, you know, we want to think about what we're eating as well. But this wasn't even changing what they're eating, but just eating it in a smaller window so that they are fasting 14 hours and eating 10 hours. And that had a huge impact.
Those dieters are going to be jumping for joy. They're thinking they can carry on eating what they're eating, but just within a smaller window. Now, if they actually change the composition of the food, they'd get an even better result, wouldn't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Exactly.
Now, we're going to be talking a lot more about all fast, but are we getting the benefits with Prasanna Nasa from Revive Active? And you can find out more about Revive Active on their website, reviveactive.com. And also, we've teamed up with them to provide Health Radio, UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their range. And so you can try it for yourself. You just go to reviveactive.com and use the code RADIO15 to see what Feeling Super is all about. So use the code RADIO15 at the checkout and you'll get 15% off. Now, we've got a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on my weekly show, Nutrition for Me. We're talking about fasting. We all fast, but are we getting the health benefits? And I'm speaking to Fasana Nasser, and she's an health expert at Revive Active. You can find out more about Revive Active on their website, reviveactive.com. We've been talking about all the different types of fasting and the benefit. And we've talked about weight management. Now, I remember, Fasana, mentioned at the start of the show, you had PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome. Did you use fasting in your recovery period for PCOS? Did that help you?
That's when I started to probably introduce like the 12-hour fast. So we know one of the biggest drivers, which is why you're mentioning it as well, for PCOS is raised insulin. That can drive a lot of symptoms that are associated with PCOS, because when you're fasting, you're keeping your insulin levels low as you're not eating. So that can be really, really beneficial. However, many people, including myself with PCOS, have imbalanced adrenals. So you also have to be really, really careful and not push on them too much. With me, I was really stressed out. And so in supporting my adrenal glands, I did do a 12-hour fast, but I didn't do a longer fast than that. And also I was making sure I was nourishing and supporting my adrenals at the same time. So, which meant that I wasn't having, you know, bulletproof coffee. So all the time when people are fasting, they're having like coffee, because that is allowed in a fast, but I wasn't doing that. And I was more nourishing myself with blood sugar balanced meals, healthy fats like that.
You actually tailored it to yourself, didn't you? Now, yeah. PCOS, as you mentioned, you know, we have to be careful with the adrenal glands. But just how our listeners understand what adrenal glands mean when you mention that word.
So adrenal glands are two of the glands that sit just on top of our kidneys. And what they are responsible for is every time we get stressed out, it's our adrenal glands that are pumping our stress hormones into our body. They're responsible. So if you're getting stressed out, so our adrenal glands are what produce our stress hormone, cortisol. When you're fasting as well, there is pressure on your adrenal glands to manage your blood sugar. And so if you're very stressed out, it does struggle a little bit to do that.
Yeah, so I guess these glands are the glands that help us to deal with stress. They provide the hormones that the reaction to stress. And, you know, if they're stimulated too much, I guess that's not good for us, is it?
No, exactly. And that's when you see that you struggle a little bit with the fasting. And also, our adrenal glands are the base of our hormone pyramid. So all your other hormones kind of rest on how well your adrenal glands are doing. So if you think about your hormones as a pyramid, okay, at the base of the pyramid, you've got your adrenal glands. Then sitting on top of that, you've got your thyroid and then your sex hormones. So you really want your adrenal glands to be as healthy as possible, because they impact all of your other hormones. So you do need to look after them, nourish them. And when you are getting stressed out, that is what that can imbalance that foundation.
So you didn't do a very long fast for that. But let's go back to the benefits of longer term fasting, autophagy, the celly, so that we have really healthy cells and we get rid of these cell debris that's no good for us, which we don't want reproducing in the body. I think you talked a bit about blood sugar regulation. We touched on the insulin and also the immune system and the energy systems. But what about the gut health and the microbiome and inflammation recovery? Can you tell us about the impacts and the benefits of longer-term fasting on our gut health, on the microbiome and inflammation?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, depending on how long you fast, it's going to have different impacts on your gut health. So, you know, just even doing a 12-hour fast is going to have a really good impact on your metabolic health. It helps increase good microbes that we know are associated with good metabolic health. Like I mentioned, Akkermansia, you know, a longer 17-hour fast has more benefits in a 24-hour fast, can have even more benefits. What happens is the gut microbes move away from the outside of your gut lining towards the end, and it allows your gut lining to renew. And at the same time, when they do this, you actually get more good microbes in your gut. It's almost like, you know, when you eat your food, you eat healthy food to increase your good microbes. Fasting can do the same thing. It supports the growth of good microbes in your gut, and it helps to push out problematic microbes as well. So just fasting itself has good gut benefits for you.
And I guess that, you know, getting rid of the bad microbes is going to lower inflammation.
And also what's really important when we talk about this is that when you fast, you have the opportunity to reset your gut, support your gut microbiome. But when you break your fast, it's really important that you continue to do this. You don't just break your fast and have like, you're famished and then you just go for whatever you're craving. It's actually really important to continue to support the growth of your gut microbes when you break your fast as well, and make sure you're nourishing your gut and your body with good, healthy food for these microbes.
Yeah, obviously, because for good microbiome to you have to have good substrate, good foods for them to feed on. We'll go on to talk about how to break the fast and what we should be eating. But before that, can I ask you, who should avoid fasting?
Depending on your age, you want to be appropriate age. If you're pregnant, you don't want to be fasting or breastfeeding. If you're adrenally exhausted, like we mentioned, you know, the adrenal glands when we talked about PCOS, you want to be really gentle with yourself if you're fasting. If you have an eating disorder, you know, if you have diabetes, you want to speak to your healthcare provider to make sure it's appropriate for you. Basically, depending on your age, if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, adrenally exhausted, any eating disorders, and if you have diabetes, always speak to your healthcare provider as well.
If you've got any kind of underlying condition, it's a
good absolutely, thing. Yeah, any underlying condition, yeah.
So there's a number of people that need to kind of be, just be mindful of, you know, whether they should be fasting, definitely with pregnant and breastfeeding women and people that are really exhausted. Right, once she came to me and she wanted to lose weight, but she had chronic fatigue and she was trying to do fasting and she was exercising a lot. And I had to do something that seemed counterintuitive to her. I said, you're not for you. I said, you're not meant to fast because you're really exhausted and your blood sugar is very unbalanced. And for her, the fasting wasn't an option. Blood sugar balancing can come from fasting, but for her, it wouldn't. Mm. I had to get her to cut down on her exercise as well. So things have to be so personalized with nutrition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. It really does have to be so personalized that, you know, if someone's got chronic fatigue and their mitochondria are not functioning well, that's what you rely on when you go into a fasting state, is like good working mitochondria. Yeah. So, yeah, no, absolutely. You do really need to personalize it, especially if you have, you know, any chronic conditions.
I mean, that's just why there's a danger of, you know, people reading things in magazines and seeing what celebrities do and thinking that that suits them. Person, you have a different body. So, you have to tailor your fast to yourself, and your fast might just be the usual, you know, the overnight fast, and that's it for a while until you're in a much better state of health.
No, absolutely. And there are benefits, you know, to a 12-hour overnight fast. There are so many benefits to that. If that's all you're able to do as well, that's brilliant.
We don't have to be really extreme. We don't have to push ourselves to the limit. We just need to see where our body is and just work out what would suit us.
Absolutely.
What are the other factors to consider when fasting? What about our hormonal levels and women on their cycle?
Yeah, so women are obviously quite different to men. Men have a 24 hormonal cycle. It's much less complicated than women. But women have fluctuating hormones over the month. And it's suggested that they should fast according to where they are in their cycle, just to optimize how they feel and the benefits from fasting as well. So there's a book called Fasting Like a Girl. And according to the book, it says that, you know, your first half of your cycle is a good time to fast because estrogen thrives when insulin is low. Okay, so when you fast, you're not eating, so your insulin levels are low. And so that can be really beneficial in the first half. And the week before you bleed, it's a better time not to fast. So progesterone peaks in this time, and progesterone prefers a high glucose environment. So when you eat your food, you're releasing glucose into your bloodstream. And so progesterone prefers a higher glucose And we all know, like, it, as a lead up to our period, we crave more carbs, don't we?
Oh, definitely. I do.
Yeah. And so that's an, you know, an indication that your body needs more carbs, and progesterone thrives on it. It's a less optimal time to be fasting.
So what's that book that you were reading? Fast Like a Girl?
It's called Fast Like a Girl, and it's by Mindy Peltz, Dr. Mindy Peltz. And so there's been a lot of interest. It's a really interesting book, and it talks about your cycle and how to tailor fasting according to your cycle.
I think this all comes down to what we were saying about really personalizing to ourselves and to our state of health, and now pinpointing to whether you're a man or a woman, and then with your woman, pinpointing down to whether you are on your, which part of the cycle you're in.
Exactly. I think listening to your body is so important. So if you're really tired and exhausted one day, it's really not going to be the best day to be doing a longer fast. Whereas when you have more energy, that does beginning of your cycle, doesn't it? That's better time where you feel like it as well. And it's also being intuitive and listening to how you feel like your body would respond to it.
It's important to be connected to our bodies. Now, we're going to be talking a lot about more about fasting. We all do it, but are we getting the health benefits with Susana Nasser from Revive Active? She's their health expert. She's also a nutritional therapist. And then we're going to be talking with her after messages.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on Nutrition for Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel good radio. I'm speaking with Susana Nasser. She's the health expert at reviveactive.com. You can find out more about their amazing supplements on their website, reviveactive.com. And we're talking about fasting. We all do it, but are we getting the health benefits? So, Susana, we've been talking about whether your state of health is good enough to fast, all the different types of fast, what women should do when they're on their cycle in terms of fasting. Let's talk a bit more about tips and hacks for fasting. How can we get our body to the start line?
How can you get your body? So the first thing is, we mentioned before, is blood sugar balancing, making sure that you, when you are eating your meals, they're blood sugar balanced. And going back to, we don't want that blood sugar roller coaster. So if we eat a meal and it's just carbohydrates, it's going to start the blood sugar roller coaster. And that's going to make fasting much harder. And it's going to cause a lot more cravings just generally in the day. So first of all, look at the food that you're eating and make sure it's blood sugar balanced. And that just means adding some protein and some fat to your meals to support this.
Give us a picture of what the plate could look like.
Okay. So for example, when you have dinner, you would never have a plate of just rice, would you? And it's the same for breakfast. You would never have a plate of just porridge. So rice and porridge are just carbohydrates. If you've had just a bowl of rice, that will make your blood sugar. If you haven't just a bowl of rice, that gets broken down into sugar very, very quickly. And that sugar hits your bloodstream. Your blood glucose goes very high. The same thing happens with oats. We would never do that with rice, but for some reason, we do that a lot with oats. So blood sugar balancing those meals. If you had a plate of rice, what would you add to it? You'd add some protein, right? So maybe you want to change that plate of rice to a quarter plate of rice, then have some protein in another quarter off your plate, so that you're thinking fish, chicken, meat, tempeh, tofu, things like that. And then the other half of your plate, you're thinking leafy green vegetables. Okay. And we'll come back to the benefits of leafy green vegetables in a moment as well. So that's your plate. Half is leafy green, non-starchy veg. Then you've got your carbs and then you've got your protein. Breakfast, the same way. You've got your porridge. We're going to add some healthy fat. So we can add like an almond butter, or a peanut butter. We can add things like cinnamon. We can add yogurt. We can add fibers like ground flaxseed, chia seed, hemp seeds into all of that to make it more blood sugar balanced, and include protein and healthy fats to it.
Yeah, because those seeds contain those fats, don't they, as well as the protein.
Exactly. And it will make a huge impact on your blood sugar and just help to stabilize it and keep you happy.
It's really good you're putting the message out, because I have a lot of people saying to me, oh, you know, and probably you get this too. They come to you, to your clinic, and they say, I'm very healthy. I had my porridge in the morning. And I say, well, what do you have in there? Well, I have milk and honey. Well, it's just, I know the milk's got a bit of protein in, but your carbohydrate, I could always say, actually, you need some nuts in there, or you need to have an egg on the side. You need some balance in your meal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it may, and when, as soon as you do that, people do see an instant difference, don't they? And that's why I like to give the comparison to rice, because you would never do that. That would seem like madness, right?
Yeah. Although some people in this country, they like having rice and chips. I'm not saying.
Oh, really? I've not heard of that. About that.
Yeah, I've seen that before. That's about the importance of vitamins and other nutritional and lifestyle factors that are important for fasting. Because I guess we talked about getting the body to the start line.
Yeah. I mean,
nutritionally balanced enough to be able to fast. But what about our micronutrients, those vitamins and minerals? And maybe you can recommend a few of your supplements that are good to think about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, just to also mention, though, like other foods that are really important to include in your diet when you're fasting are things like liver foods. So it's our liver that really helps support us when we do fast. And so we want to put in foods that are also going to support our liver before we fast and also after we fast. So like leafy green vegetables, bitter foods like rocket, watercress, kale, chicory, things like artichoke, beetroot, olives, a lot of the foods that are in the plant kingdom naturally will help and support and nourish our liver to help us. Also, you know, we want to get as much as we can from our diet through foods, but we also want to supplement wisely to fill any nutritional gaps and to also use nutrients like, so we have some B vitamins, some C as well. So yeah, I like Revive Active. I love that supplement because it's really easy to take and it ticks absolutely all of the boxes.
You mean the Zest Active one or the Revive Active, the green one?
So Revive Active, I love their Zest Active. I mean, I love all of them, but right now I'm taking the Zest Active at the moment. So that's what I've been taking the last couple of months and it's really, really helping me. It has 25 active ingredients that work together. And so you've got B vitamins to help support energy production. You've got vitamin D for immune health. Vitamin C is really important, not only for immune health, but it's important for our adrenals to keep them healthy while we're fasting as well. So, you know, it's got a lot of good things that are going to help support you when you fast. It's a sachet and you empty it into some water and drink it. That's another plus. So when you have the Zest Active, you're emptying it into water, which is allowing you to stay hydrated as well. Either when you're breaking your fast or when you start your fast, the Zest Active is non-stimulating. So even, you know, when you're starting your fast, or if it's like Ramadan right now, we're having it in the morning, knowing it's non-stimulating, and it's not going to keep us up if we go back to bed after eating.
Yeah,
so we're up at 4 o'clock in the morning. We have breakfast, which is known as suhoor. And I have it, my kids have it, and knowing it's non-stimulating is really important because we all go back to bed after having it.
I love the Revive Active. I call it the green one.
Yeah.
I've got orange and mango flavor, 26 active ingredients working together to put back what life takes out. And I saw this, I thought this is really what I need. But the reason I like it is because it's got glutamine in it, which is for the gut lining
and
fasting. The gut lining is so important, and it's got all of these amino acids. It's got coenzyme Q10. It's another wonderful nutrient, which I love for mitochondrial function and for energy, for the powerhouse of the cell, which, you know, for fasting, we've talked about that, about how important it is for ourselves to be working optimally. So I think you have another CoQ10 product, don't you?
Yes, we do.
I love that one too. So that's just, I think it's Revive Active, ubiquinol, CoQ10.
Yeah.
The CoQ10 is in the Revive Active.
Yes, they have CoQ10.
Alongside loads of other nutrients. So I kind of use this as like a multi for myself. And it's got minerals in there as well, which is wonderful. B vitamin. And I like that because it's got the CoQ10. But then I noticed you have the Revive Active, ubiquinol, CoQ10, which is, as I said, I love that because of the importance of cells working optimally, especially the mitochondria. We talked about autophagy, but there's mitophagy as well.
No, exactly. And CoQ10 is so beneficial as well to supporting you while you're fasting and giving you that energy.
So yeah, all of these nutrients are so important. I'm glad you talked about vitamin D and C. We talked about the importance of fasting for the immune system. So if we can get those nutrients in as well, then you're going to get an even more of a boost. And as well as the B vitamins for the nervous system and for the adrenal glands, which is really important. What about hydration? How do you approach that with your fast?
Yeah, no, staying hydrated is really, really important because, you know, some of the time we feel hungry when we're actually thirsty. And so what I like to do is I like to use electrolytes as well. So they help prevent dehydration and allows your body to retain water and stay hydrated longer. So this can be something as simple as taking a pinch of Himalayan salt and a squeeze of lemon and drinking that to support hydration. So Himalayan salt is your sodium and lemon is rich in potassium. So that's a really simple way to, you know, stay hydrated. But you do want to stay hydrated. And you can all stay hydrated. I mean, you can also do it through herbal teas as well. Oh. So, yeah. So herbal teas are a great way to stay hydrated and get some other like benefits too. I mean, the herbal teas are usually labeled what they're good for. So, for example, a nighttime tea will have calming ingredients like chamomile and lavender, but you don't need to just have them at nighttime. They're just calming. So if you have a stressful day, a busy day, they're also a lovely way to actually calm the nervous system and just support you. Or, you know, other ones that have like turmeric, they have just some additional anti-inflammatory benefits as well.
Well, I'm glad we talked about the nutrients that are important. I love that little hack about the lemon juice and the salt. What about what's the healthiest way to break the fast? I think we kind of talked about that. Making sure the plate has the carbohydrates, the good fats, the protein. We know the importance of hydration. But what else? Let's just quickly talk about the impacts of bad fasting. What can happen when maybe the fasting isn't done in the correct way or we're not reacting well to it?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about your blood sugar and you might, well, it's everything really, right? So you've been in a fasting state, say, for a while. And to continue the benefits, it really does depend. To continue the benefits, you want to break your fast correctly, right? So, for example, if we think about the benefits for the gut microbiome, we want to break our fast with, you know, probiotics, prebiotics, polyphenols. So lots of plant foods to continue to support the health of your gut microbiome. We want to maybe break our fast with greens. So we know bitters and greens are good for your liver and your gallbladder. But when you start your meal with greens, it kind of forms a mesh in your gut and it lowers the glucose spike from the rest of your meal. So, you know, maybe having a salad with some rocket, with some olive oil and apple cider vinegar, something really simple like that. And all these ingredients are also bitter foods. So when you're breaking your fast, maybe you're a little bit more tired. Maybe you need to support your body in producing enzymes to break down the food. So including those bitter foods helps stimulate your bitter receptors, which help with digestion of the foods.
And I guess, you know, when we're fasting, we are detoxing because most people, when they're fasting long term, they're going to be that contains where we store our toxin.
Yes.
We need that liver to be working well. So those foods that you mentioned, those bitter foods that support are very important for that detoxification that automatically happens very fast. I guess the water is very important because we need to flush out the toxins from the body. So I guess about with your supplements, most of them can dissolve them in water. So that's a really good way to hydrate as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's one of them. But that's another thing when you break your fast is hydrate and incorporating the sachets into some water, you're nourishing, you're getting the nutrients, you're getting a nice hit of nutrients into your system to support you, but you're also supporting your system that way as well.
Tell me about your community and the celebration of Eid al-Fitr. I don't know, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And your community, how are they mostly breaking their fast?
So
in the healthiest way possible from a nutritional person like you.
Yeah. So, I mean, traditionally, and I'm talking about like in my family, in my community as well, is we'll break your fast. You tend to have fried food, you have a cup of tea, then maybe you'll say your prayers, and then you have your main meal. I think we're all trying to change that and just change and create knowledge on the best way to eat your meal to continue to support your health. So, you know, instead of having, you know, that cup of tea, I know everyone's craving it all day, but, you know, that can be quite dehydrating as well, can't it? So, and also the fried food is probably not the best thing, but I think just re-educating, just start with the salad, have your protein. And then if you have the foods that, you know, definitely have your cake and your dessert and your fried food, but if you have it at the end of your meal, it's going to have less impact on your blood glucose level. And it's just going to keep you happier and healthier.
Yeah. My Muslim friends were asking me about this question because they were saying to me that they were breaking their fast with some deep fried samosas, which sounds delicious to me. They don't eat tea, and I love tea as well. And I said, oh, look, can't you steam them? And they said, no, we don't do that. So yeah, you've got to try and find maybe some, sounds lovely, but some healthier options, because deep fried is not so good, although it is.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, you're so hungry that that's what you are drawn to. But like even things like, you know, if you don't want to have a salad, even having something like olives, right, to start your meal, or, you know, that can be really beneficial too. But finding something that could be, that you enjoy, that you could start your meal with and then have that at the end.
So enjoyed talking to you about fasting, and I've learned so much. You've taught us all so much. So this week we've been talking about fasting. We all do it, but are we getting the health benefit? And today's show is brought to you with Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. We've actually teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 50% off their range. So you can try it for yourself and just go to reviveactive.com and use the code RADIO15 to see what feeling super is all about. Well, listeners, I really do hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting the show. And listen out next week for my next show. Until then, goodbye.